On Monday, we read from your emails, beginning with a sample of the emails you sent in during our show on obesity and reform of physical education classes, which suggests that they're being used as both carrots and sticks. Annie Link wrote, "In our local school, skipping PE is used as a reward for academic achievements on a daily basis." Marianne from Florida wrote in to say, "It can also go the other way. Recess is often taken away as a punishment, too." David B. Moore wrote, "I noticed that most coaches use working out as a punishment. For example, if you're late for practice, you have to run, which I feel teaches kids that exercise is a punishment." But Jane Noonan in Spokane, Washington, says she doesn't mind the extra work. She wrote, "I just finished 40 minutes on our elliptical cross trainer, working away at that midlife weight that has crept on. Thanks for all the great programming that makes it a little easier to keep going." J.D. Shaw sent us this email during our Martha Stewart discussion, "As I've always enjoyed your show, but couldn't help smile when Jeffrey Toobin called Martha Stewart one tough cookie, after all the years she spent teaching us to bake soft and moist cookies." During our program on the state of journalism, J.E. Gordon in Portland, Oregon wrote, "I have one concern that hasn't been discussed. A good news department has fact checkers and has a stake in the accuracy of facts as well as differentiating facts from opinions. They also take responsibility for what they put on the air and apologize for mistakes and present corrections. How can a person searching the internet for news be expected to come up with something comparable? It seems to me without trained, responsible news analysts, many people will believe they're informed when they're only opinionated." Well, Srinivasan is a professor of new media at Columbia University. He's a columnist for the Pointer Media website, and he joins us now to respond to that email. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Happy to be here.
That's a good point. How can internet users be sure what they're reading online is reliable?
A couple of things you can do. I tell everyone, do a fact check or a reality check of every website. That is, on any site, there'll be at least one small fact or piece of information that you know the answer to or you can verify. So check that piece of information. If that's accurate, there's a decent chance the rest of the site is accurate. Decent chance, not 100%. On the other hand, if that one fact is wrong, then I would not trust anything on the site. So that's the way I look at every new site I come to. That's one thing that people can do. The other is see how many other websites are linking to a particular site and just read the About Us section. Mainly spend time on the site, look at several days of stories, if you will, and learn it that way.
As a rule, how do websites handle corrections?
Very poorly. There are very few corrections policies that are established. Or if they're established, they're hard to find the correction sections of many publications. News.com, CNetNews.com is well known for its coverage of technology, but it's also as well known for introducing a very strong corrections segment of its news website. So I wish more and more publications would do something like that. Often it's hard to find. I do, however, want to make a point that it's very easy to beat up on the internet and kind of glorify the fact-checking and other things that are built into traditional media. But to be honest, right now, many magazines no longer do fact-checking. Most newspapers do not have fact-checking departments, and they rely on the reporters to do it. And television has almost no fact-checking. And you rarely see corrections on the air on television. So let's not imagine that everything's perfect in old media.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Srinivasan is the new media professor at Columbia University and a columnist at pointer.org. You can find a link to his online news surfing tips at npr.org. And speaking of corrections, in a conversation last week about the information provided to news media by Iraqi National Council before the war in Iraq, I made an error. Not all of the stories that we discussed as attributed to the INC's defectors have been proven false, which is what I said. I regret the mistake. If you have corrections, questions, comments, or suggestions about what you hear on Talk of the Nation, email us, please, TOTN@npr.org. Please include the topic of the show in the subject line, tell us the city and the state you're writing from, and if you think we might need it, some guidance on how to pronounce your name or your hometown. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsko Sato, Justine Kennan, Molly Messick, and Karun Demirjan. Our director is Chad Campbell, the production assistant is Brendan Banizak, and the intern is Dustin Dwyer. The technical director is Kevin Waite. He gets engineering help from Vince Muse, Stu Rushfield, Bob Byers. Paul Heltzel manages the TOTN webpage. Our senior editor is Alan Silva. The senior producer is Sue Goodwin. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.